99.1 The Sports Animal brings you inside the fight game of the MMA.
Oh my God.
With a weekly one-hour show.
Whoa!
In the Cage MMA Radio.
Dude, this might be a bad idea.
Hosts Vince Ferrara and Tim Loy bring you a unique perspective from inside the sport. Vince is an MMA lead commentator, Cage site at many events. Tim Loy is a former MMA organization president and current matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge.
From the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Get big-time national MMA interviews, pay-per-view recaps and previews, matchmaking, predictions, strong opinions, compelling content, weekly things you'll learn, and more on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Three-minute rounds. We're underway in Knoxville.
Here's Vince Ferrara.
When I met you in the summer,
welcome to In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the sports animal. It's Vince Ferrara and Tim Loy, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge, your duo to review two UFC shows. Look ahead to the big pay-per-view this coming Saturday night with the return of Conor McGregor and much more. Tim Loy, how are you, sir?
I'm well, man. It's been a bombardment of MMA here over the last few days, and with the big one still on the horizon.
Yeah, it's been a beautiful thing. Wednesday, you got a chance to see prelims in the morning and then into the early afternoon on ESPN. And then, of course, last Saturday, you had the return of the UFC on ABC for the first time. That was really cool for the main card and two terrific shows. So let's jump in and talk about those two here in our big three stories that we do in our first segment each week. Before we talk about those two shows, we'll get to them in a second. The biggest story in the sport is the return of the biggest star in the sport, and that's this Saturday. You've heard the line from the Eminem song, guess who's back?
Yeah.
Back again. It's Conor McGregor, and he will fight Dustin Poirier. It's McGregor Poirier 2 at the pay-per-view on Saturday night, tomorrow night. Tim, we've seen and heard Dana White, a lot of people talking about how Conor McGregor is in the best shape of his life. What kind of performance do you expect to see from Conor McGregor in terms of sharpness, rust, any of that kind of stuff?
I think we see a very, very good version. Based on the propaganda that we're being fed, it just seems like he's really dialed in here, and it doesn't seem like so much a circus. You know, so much of the time in the lead up to McGregor fights, it's just such a media circus, and it doesn't seem like there's so much nonsense on this one. I really do feel like he's dialed in here, and we're going to get a really nice performance.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then, look, you don't hear much from Dustin Poirier. UFC's done a nice job with little packages and things like that, but he's not a guy that's going to engage. There's going to be as much respect as Conor McGregor will give for someone, although he's saying he's going to finish him in the first round, stuff like that. But there's not the bad blood and the emotion between these two. Maybe that's why we're not getting the over-the-moon type of hype that you would with McGregor, Habib, or even Diaz, who they would always get into the verbal exchanges going in.
Yeah, and to me, it feels like this is a money fight for Poirier. You know, the payday is going to be nice. He's going to go out there and fight hard. If he can pull off the upset, you know, awesome. Springboards his career. But more than anything, I think, you know, this is a nice a money grab for Poirier, even if he doesn't win. If I'm not mistaken, he's come to the end of his contract. He'd been talking already about maybe going elsewhere. So with talk like that already, you know, it feels to me like there's not a whole lot of pressure on it.
Well, connected to this, Tim, here, staying in our one biggest story, we'll get to the other two in a second. Dana White was interviewed by John Anik last Saturday, and he said that he had his meeting with Habib, which was much anticipated, to try to get him to come back or find out where he's at. And he said that Habib is going to keep a close eye on the two fights, McGregor, Poirier, and then Chandler and Hooker. He said he's also impressed with Oliveira, but he said, show me something. If someone is spectacular, he'll come back and fight them. It doesn't sound like a guy that's staying retired. It's just a matter of when he returns, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would guess so. It's pretty non-committal, to say the least. But Yeah, I mean, if we've gotten to this point where we're already just talking about the possibility, then that means it's more a probability.
Right. And if he's talking to Dana about it, you have to assume that it's something that Habib is thinking about, because if you're retired and you're doing it for family reasons, you shut that door down, you're not even having these kind of discussions. Then again, it's fighters. They're in now, moment to moment. So we'll see what comes out this weekend. There could be a whole lot of really juicy future fights with Habib coming into the mix. And
you know, the co-main event was mentioned in that whole scenario. It wasn't right. Just the main event.
Right. So yeah, that's why you could do the two winners getting together. Oliveira's in the mix. Habib's in the mix. So if you take the winners of those two big fights, plus Oliveira, plus Habib, guess what Dana White's going to do with those four?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah, going to match them up. Makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yep. All right, our second in our big three stories is UFC on ABC One. I thought they did an awesome job with it. It was cool to be on network television for the UFC. Fight Island 7, obviously the biggest thing was the main event with Max Holloway's just amazing performance, looking as good as ever, if not better.
Yeah, that was one of the absolute best performances I've ever witnessed, bar none. It was absolutely outstanding. So many strikes thrown. We talked last week, about how Cater was the one was going to bring all the volume and was the best boxer and this, that, and the other. We'll get more into it as we break this whole thing down. But Max Holloway seemed to fight with a chip on his shoulder.
He didn't seem to have any remaining issues from taking a whole lot of punishment the last couple of fights, but it was also against high level competition. I thought the overall card was really exciting. Had some great finishes, just UFC really delivering. And then in our third in our big three stories, Wednesday's card, UFC Fight Island 8, I thought another card with some exciting fights, some of them going to distance, some of them with quick, spectacular type of finishes. And then you didn't have the drama in the main event, Tim, but man, Michael Chiesa just dominating Neil Magny from start to finish. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, only one of us whiffed on the main event for both cards, and that wouldn't be me. I actually was on Chiesa on this one. He Neil Magny.
Yeah, Neil Magny did not have any answers, and what an impressive performance. And then an interesting call out for Chiesa too. We'll get into that as well. That's Tim Lloyd. I am Vince Ferrar. We're going to review both of these shows from the last week. Exciting to have the UFC back. We will break down what we saw this weekend. Full preview of UFC 257 on the way a little bit later on the show in about 20 minutes. With Tim Lloyd and Vince Ferrara, we'll review both of those UFC Fight Island shows next on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Now it's time for In the Cage MMA Radio's weekly marquee interview, letting you hear from the personalities inside the sport. In the Cage.
Here on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal, with Tim Lloyd and Vince Ferrara, our Friday night spot every Friday night from 8 until 9. Happy to have you with us, and we're excited, as I'm sure all of you are, to see the UFC put together shows, and not only every week, but they've delivered two in the last week. One last Saturday, UFC on ABC, UFC Fight Island 7, and then on Wednesday in the morning and early afternoon. So we're going to look back at both of those shows right now. We'll start with UFC Fight Island 7. Tim, we talked a little bit about the main event, Max Holloway defeating Calvin Kattar. They went the distance, but my goodness, you could easily have stopped that fight earlier, third round, fourth round for sure. Multiple 10-8, and even you could make an argument for some 10-7 rounds. That's how dominant Max Holloway was with his striking. Just a wide array of strikes, kicks. I mean, just levels and everything. You talk about a complete dominant performance. That was the Blessed Express, no question.
Yeah, you know, the talking points going into this fight was Calvin Kattar was the best boxer in the UFC. Calvin Kattar was going to win this fight on volume and with just a sheer onslaught of nonstop accuracy. It's what I was saying anyway. It's what a lot of people were saying. Well, that's exactly how Max Holloway fought. And tell you what, it was just a performance that is going to be very hard to rival. How often do you see a 50-42 scorecard? That's 5-10-8 rounds. Just, you know, 500 plus strikes landed. It is insane. And Max Holloway went in there to prove a point. I think that he really showed Calvin Kattar that massive gap that there is from your contenders to like your championship level guys at 145.
You start to get a little bit closer to the show and you hear about how, you know, Max Holloway with his new training and not doing any sparring whatsoever, just really limiting the damage and the hits on the chin. And he wasn't impacted when he took shots in this fight. It took some wear and tear off of him. Oh, by the way, I mean, the toughness of Calvin Kattar to remain in this fight. My goodness, that was as amazing as anything, almost as amazing as Holloway's performance.
Yeah, it's super tough guy, Boston strong, you know, it was no doubt that Kattar is a tough dude. It was just such a one-sided performance that you have a hard time really seeing Kattar having an argument to be in the title picture at all. Right. You know, it's a really tough loss at the same time. Shows his toughness, but it also kind of cements his spot as like, you know, a middle tier contender.
How can they not give Max another title shot? I guess the question would be, do you do it now or does Max have to maybe dismantle somebody else before they give him another title shot, since they've already done it twice and he's lost twice?
Yeah, you know, we already know that it's going to be Volkanovski and Ortega in March. So if Max were to get the next title shot or he wanted to gamble on that, be waiting till the summer at the very least. Doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that wants to wait 6 months to fight. The fight, I think, is Zabit Magomed Sharipov. He's ranked number four, or number three, rather. You beat him, and there's no argument, in my opinion, that he has to have the next title fight while he waits on the winner of Volkanovski and Ortega. Same time, you're giving Zabit, a guy who's hot too, a chance at a signature win over Holloway where he could have a claim to the next title fight as well.
And if Ortega beats Volkanovski and wins the title, then that's easy. Then it's Max and Ortega for the title. I guess it depends on the timing of it, right? On when they do those two fights. How close together are they? Holloway, he was telling Dana, hey, if anything happens to the main event, you got my number. Call me.
He's ready to go. He's ready to go. They could conceivably make that fight on the same card, you know, and the winners come out of it. I mean, if you think about it, he's effectively eliminating it with a win over Zabit. He's eliminating the only other logical title contender for Volkanovski or Ortega. If he beats him, who else?
Yeah, it's a great point. All right, so co-main event, I think both of us expected Carlos Condit to beat Matt Brown, but it was 30-27 on the judges' scorecards. Condit did get the win. But Tim, I thought this was an even better fight than maybe I had envisioned in terms of quality. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought 30-27 was a little egregious. I thought Condit won, but I thought it probably was 2-1. Mm-hmm. I thought he did a really good job, actually, though. Even when Matt Brown would have nice positions on the ground, Condit just stayed so busy that Brown couldn't really do anything with them. So I thought that Condit was active and obviously was the more crisp striker. A nice win for Condit. That's two in a row. It's been a minute since Carlos Condit's been on a winning streak.
I thought those guys, considering they're both vets, did a nice job. Li Jing Liang defeated Santiago Ponzinibbio. Goodness, another spectacular first round KO. I was going to say that we saw a number of upsets on that main card, and that was one of them.
Yeah, you know, I talked about it last week that, you know, it was a much anticipated return for Ponzinibbio. He was on a 7-fight win streak before his injury, had a 2-year layoff. But Li Jing Liang, the leech, he's been active, man, fighting tough guys and has knockout power. And that was what I was worried about, that one-punch knockout power. And he landed over Ponzinibbio in a very disappointing return for a guy that was a title contender a couple years back. I would imagine this gives the leech a sniff at the rankings.
In the welterweight division and in the middleweight division, how about the Italians taking over the middleweights, Tim?
Yeah, that was a big upset too, huh?
It was Alessio DiCirico, the Paisan, joining Marvin Vettori, who's moving up those rankings, and DiCirico with a spectacular knockout of Joaquin Buckley at 2:12. And Buckley was on the front end, the famous end of his viral kick finish of Impikasunganai. This wasn't as spectacular. That head kick when Buckley was dropped down was pretty spectacular as well.
Yeah, performance bonus for DiCirico. I believe it's his first knockout win in the UFC. He was kind of been a decision machine, it seems like, in the lead up to this. Buckley had a lot of hype behind him, you know, with his big viral knockout. And this just goes to show that things can turn in a hurry. I felt like the books were kind of overvaluing Buckley based on a lot of his the hype on that knockout there. And DiCirico, he wasn't fazed by the moment. Nice win.
Yeah, DiCirico is on a 3-fight losing streak, although really tough competition.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of the deal and why he was such a big underdog. Another guy just impressed with was Punahele Soriano defeating Dusko Todorovic. First round TKO in 4:48. Another Hawaiian that looked good, and that was Soriano.
Yeah, somebody's O had to go. Two undefeated prospects, and Soriano had that power. And Todorovic had the length and the reach, but it seemed like he just kept kind of like backing straight up, trying to just like pull his head back on those big shots. And eventually one of those shots got through.
Undercard, he had Jocelyn Edwards defeating Wu Yanan, Carlos Felipe over Justin Taffa, Ramazan Imaev beat David Zawanda, Vanessa Mello over Sarah Morris, and Austin Lingo defeated VFC alum Jacob Kilburn. Anything stand out to you? Those were all going to the judges' scorecards, Tim.
Yeah, a lot of decisions there to lead off the undercard. The Carlos Felipe Justin Taffa fight was a heck of a fight. That was a very entertaining brawl between two kind of middle of the road to lower tier heavyweights. So they both actually brought a real nice fight there. And then you know, Austin Lingo, Jacob Kilburn, pretty dominant performance, I thought, from Lingo. He really hit Kilburn with the kitchen sink in the first round, dropped him. But Kilburn showed a lot of toughness and hung in there for the unanimous decision. And, you know, I did think he looked better than he looked in his first fight. He looked like he kind of belonged in there a little bit more. So, that was the undercard.
Yeah, Lingo 30-26 on a couple of the judges' scorecards. But even though you're right, in the undercard, it was all decisions, I still thought there was really exciting fights and just a good quality first card back for the UFC. And I think with the main card, with those five fights we talked about, it was a pretty nice representation on network television, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. You had some OGs on there for some name recognizable type fans. You had Carlos Condit, Matt Brown, you know, and then we got the big knockouts from DiCirico, a highlight reel style knockout from him and Soriano and the Leech. And then, of course, the awesome performance from Holloway in the main event. Your take real quick. Do you feel like there's an argument that maybe Cater's corner could have stopped that after the fourth round, after being down 10-8 so many rounds? Or do you feel like he was still dangerous enough in the fifth round to maybe land a Hail Mary?
Well, because he was throwing, Tim, some of those haymakers back the other way, back at Holloway, I think that's why they probably let him go a little bit. And then look at the end. It was over at that point, but Max Holloway was clowning at the end, the final 30 seconds.
His Cater was talking a little bit of that talk in the lead up here, and he just really couldn't back it up. And like I said, it just felt like Holloway was fighting with a chip on his shoulder here.
Yeah, no doubt. Would you have stopped? I think I probably, knowing Cater's toughness, probably would have let it go. He still was firing back so much with strikes, elbows, just whatever he could.
It's a tough call. Hindsight being 20/20, of course, you know, in the heat of the moment, probably not. Probably would have let him go out there because he's so game. When you watch it back a second time, you're like, oh, you know, man, he got hit a lot.
Yeah. And even he said, you'd have to kill me, but nobody wants to see him get killed. So
No, not on network TV anyway.
All right. UFC Fight Island 8, that was on Wednesday. Main event, Michael Chiesa dominating Neil Magny. Unanimous decision on the judges' scorecards, 49-46. You said it earlier, Chiesa out Magny'd Magny. Magny had a little bit of an opportunity in the second round, but then, you know, made a mistake. And Chiesa, just such a smart fight. Magny, Daniel Cormier was alluding to it a lot, maybe not the smartest strategy, got himself into bad situations, and Chiesa, man, jumped on it and swarmed him with all that top time.
Well, Magny, you're used to fighting such cerebral type fights. You know, right. He's very good at using his reach and his grappling and just kind of grinding guys out. And that's what Chiesa did here. He showed his strength advantage, and his striking has actually improved some too. But he just smothered him. He did to Neil Magny what we've seen Neil Magny do to so many guys. And then he called out Colby Covington.
Yeah, he said the election's over, which of course is a shot at Covington being a big fan
right. Of
Donald Trump. But yeah, I think that's a really interesting call out. Chiesa, popular guy. Covington is so brash. I like the sounds of that. What do you think?
I like it, but I don't know if he'll get it. I don't know if he's still got that profile yet to be able to get Covington. But at the same time, Covington may see it as a fight that he likes his end of it, just stylistically. He knows that Chiesa will help build the fight, and he may see it as just like, you know, a win.
I mean, we are talking about Colby Covington, who's right now the top-ranked welterweight behind Usman, who's probably wanting to get in that position where Chiesa was eighth, I think, going into Wednesday's card. You're right. It's probably not at the top of Covington's list, but we'll see what's there for him. Edwards is already matched up with Chimaev, 3 versus 15. So I guess one could fight 8. That's not totally out of the question, but it is interesting. All right, let's get to the rest of the card. On the main card from Wednesday's UFC Fight Island 8 on ESPN, Warley Alves, great performance. He defeated Munir Laziz first round TKO. We had a couple of quick finishes on this main card. That was one of them, just 235. What'd you think of Alves?
You know, it'd been a year and a half since Alves has had a win. Came into this fight as the underdog. Laziz had a little bit of hype behind him after he beat Razak Al-Hassan in his comeback fight. And I had bought into the hype too, man. But Alves comes out there and lands like a triple body kick. It's like whack, whack, whack. and then Laziz was done more or less from that point. He just kind of shelled up and that was it.
You had Ike Villanueva defeating Vinicius Moreira. Second round TKO, just 39 seconds into the second round. And we saw Daniel Cormier in this one say, you can't punch kick. And it looked like he was trying to kick and punch or didn't know what to do and did it at the same time and got caught and laid out with one shot.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure what I was seeing there. Vinicius Moreira and Ike Villanueva, I think both guys would probably be considered in the bottom five of the UFC's light heavyweight division. Somebody had to crack that egg and get that win finally, and it was Ike Villanueva. Surely Moreira is cut after this. I think that's 4 straight. He hasn't looked at all like he belongs. He gets finished in the first second round routinely. Not a good showing.
Yeah, Villanueva has 11 losses, and he was the winner in this. Mm-hmm. So Viviane Araujo defeated Roxanne Modafferi. Unanimous decision there, 30-26 on one of the judges' scorecards. Modafferi was game, as usually she is, but this was obviously a pretty clear performance by Araujo.
Dominant, you know, just too strong, too quick, too athletic, too much volume. Yep. And pretty clear unanimous decision win for Ojiao. Modafferi, like you said, always game, always tough, fought all the way to the end, but just not enough tools, you know, not enough plus athleticism there, which will, oftentimes plague her.
One of the more entertaining fights on the card, Matt Schnell defeated Tyson Nam. I mean, this is one that you pointed out last week that could really deliver fireworks and one to look for. Split decision win for Matt Schnell. What'd you think of this one?
Great fight. Delivered action like I expected. I actually thought Tyson Nam would win, especially if you told me that they're going to stand up for 3 straight rounds. Right. Yeah, I would think that Schnell would need to get him to the ground and use his submission prowess to get the win, because Nam's been knocking guys out. Great power in that division. But Schnell fought a great fight, and it's a big win for him.
Another fight, even though it went to the judges' scorecards, I thought it was really entertaining. And that was Leron Murphy beating Douglas Silva de Andrade. Unanimous decision, 29-28 on 2 judges' scorecards, 30-27 on 1. I didn't understand the 30-27. I don't think anybody did. I think it was 2-1. But, man, that was really high volume, really entertaining fight.
Yeah, Murphy's a guy that's got a lot of potential, stays undefeated now, and knocks off probably his most impressive scalp to date in Silva de Andrade. I'd like to see him get another step up.
Omari Akhmadov defeated Tom Breeze, arm triangle choke in the second round. The referees, he got praised afterwards, but man, it looked like Breeze was out when he lifted his arm a couple of times and he just kind of drooped down, but the referee didn't stop it. And that's because I guess it seemed like he was showing signs of still being two, even despite his arm. It's just really strange the way that ended.
Yeah, it was, you know, and Breeze had his moments. I thought he was going to get him out of there late in the first, but Akhmadov able to come out of here with a win. Tom Breeze, the guy that has been really up and down, you know, over the last couple of years, some noted anxiety issues and things like that. So it'll be curious to see how he kind of bounces back from this.
What on the undercard stood out to you? Any individual performances at the very least?
You know, I thought the best fight on the undercard was the Mike Davis and Mason Jones fight. That was a really close fight. Davis gets a unanimous decision. I think it could have gone either way. I thought it was, you know, interesting to see the third Nurmagomedov enter the UFC. Umar Nurmagomedov, undefeated now, still 13-0, with a nice win over another Russian prospect in Sergey Morozov. And then finally, I'll give some props to Manon Fiorot, the French woman who takes the fight with the Victoria Leonardo on short notice. Dominates the striking, just really, really nice kickboxing and a lot of power, knocks her out in the second round. And she's one that hopefully will start making some waves there at flyweight. Maybe we got a new contender.
Yep. And you have Davison Figueiredo's little brother, Francisco. They got a win on that undercard. And
then he's not Davison, though.
No.
you definitely see a difference, huh?
Absolutely. And then Suma Derji showing off that power again in his win on the undercard as well. All right. That's our look at the first two 2021 UFC cards. We will preview UFC 257, the return of Conor McGregor. That is next. He's Tim Loy. I'm Vince Ferrara. It's In the Cage, MMA Radio, 99.1, The Sports.
What big events are coming up in MMA?
Well, right now, Vince and Tim have the answers.
This is the pay-per-view and MMA show preview on In the Cage, MMA Radio.
Back here on In the Cage, MMA Radio 99.1, the sports animal, every Friday night, 8 until 9. I'm Vince Ferraro with Tim Loy, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge. Our podcasts are always available on our website, archived at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. You can go to the show tab at top of the website and just look for In the Cage, MMA Radio. Everything is housed there, including show descriptions and much more. You can also go to the audio tab on the website as well, and you can just get the podcast there also. And then wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, you can find In the Cage MMA Radio. Subscribe to it, rate it, share it, tell your friends all about it, and you can get the podcast, which we'll post shortly after each show, on there each week. You can hit us up on social media as well. Tim on Facebook, Tim Loy, myself on Twitter at Vince Sports. And if you have any feedback, want to be a part of the show as a sponsor, we'd love to have you. If there's anything you want us to cover on the show as well, let us know on social media. We'll be glad to get that on an upcoming show. We do have some cool topics we sort of have in the can ready for you whenever things slow down a little bit, but now's not the time for that because we got UFC 257 this Saturday with the return of Conor McGregor. Tim, Conor McGregor comes in at 22-4 in this lightweight bout against Dustin Poirier, two of the best in the world, and Poirier and McGregor fought once before, and now they're back at it again. Do you see this going any differently than what we saw the first time?
I think Poirier's gotten a lot better. He's a different fighter than we saw the first time, but I think Conor has as well. I think he's going to be the bigger, stronger guy. So I'd still like Conor in this fight. I think the odds are long at with Conor at minus 300 feels like it's not giving Poirier enough credit here, but I think it's an entertaining fight. I think that we get a good scrap, but I think Conor prevails.
Since they first met in 2014, Dustin Poirier is 10-2 with a no contest. Conor McGregor is 6-2, so Poirier has been more active. Conor McGregor with 5 finishes, Poirier with 6. McGregor has been in 8 main events, Poirier has been in 7. And McGregor has won 2 UFC championships, Poirier has won 1, the interim light heavyweight championship and for Poirier, and then the featherweight and lightweight championship for McGregor as well. So, you know, you would like to see Conor McGregor be more active. Dana White, speaking about McGregor, said this past week that he thinks we'll see McGregor. He first said 3 times, and then he said 2 later on in an interview for 2021. 2 would seem like heavy workload for McGregor. I think 3 is what he was hoping to do and said he would try to do last year. It didn't work out because he's fighting so early in the year. I think there might be a shot for 3, especially if Khabib is on the table for him real soon. I think that's where you could get your second one. And then if he's feeling frisky and wants to win that, I think that's where you could see him in a third fight in 2021.
Yeah, I see it going, you know, more or less, if Khabib is willing to fight Conor off of this win, he would probably have 2. And if he's not, and Conor has to fight the winner of the co-main event, with Khabib being the third, possibly, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, McGregor's ranked 4th in that lightweight division. Poirier ranked 1st. How do you see this going down? Give us a prediction on this one.
I'm going to go Conor by TKO late, and I'm going to say the third, middle of the fight. We'll say third.
I think it'll be a finish, but I think McGregor is going to have to work some because of the toughness of Poirier. But Poirier is going to be right there in front of Conor, and Conor is going to be setting up his shots. And I think it will take a toll on Poirier, even if he returns some artillery back at Conor. Is there a pathway for Poirier? If McGregor is anything close to sharp, what could Poirier do to try to have a shot to win this fight?
I think his best shot is going to be a potential submission, maybe. Maybe he catches him on the ground in a submission. I don't think he's going to outstrike him. I don't think that he'll be able to keep him off of him to use his reach advantage. So I'm going to go with a potential submission, I guess, if Conor's slipping. I don't see him being able to win 3 out of the 5 rounds either.
Co-main event, another quality one. You've mentioned it before. This could highlight its own card as a main event and be top notch. You got 6th-ranked Dan Hooker in the lightweight division against incoming Michael Chandler, who many in the sport know, and he's getting a great spot right out of the gate. How do you size this one up?
This one, to me, is the hardest fight on the card to call because, you know, it's kind of reminds me of when Gaethje came over from World Series of Fighting. You've got a world champion from another top organization, but he's not been fighting UFC fighters. So how does he stack up against Hooker, who is one of the top fighters in the world at 155? Not an easy debut. It's hard to call. I'm going to side with Chandler here, but with trepidation, to say the least. I think it's a really tough style matchup as he goes for those takedowns. You know, Hooker's going to be firing those big knees up the middle. So, that's a tough one. I'm going to go Chandler, but not with a whole lot of confidence.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go with Dan Hooker. I think with his chin, and you mentioned the knees, I think he's such a versatile striker. I think, and then the length is tremendous for him as well. Not sure on Chandler's length, but I know Hooker can really get you from some crazy angles with those long arms. So very close, but I will side with Dan Hooker in that co-main event, and it's tremendous. Another battle of ranked fighters. How about 3 of them at the top of the card, and there's another one on the main card. You got 6th-ranked Jessica Eye, women's flyweight bout against 7th-ranked Joanne Calderwood. What do you think of this one? I guess it would be the feature bout of the night.
Yeah, you know, you've got 2 ladies that were in talks for being the next world title contender just a few fights back, but they faltered in their step up, you know. So Calderwood most notably had a real disappointing showing last time out against Jennifer Maia. She probably would have had that title fight with Shevchenko had she won, but she dropped the ball. So you've got to imagine she's motivated to get back there in that scene. I favor her over Jessica Eye here. It seems like you always get a lot of excuses out of Jessica Eye. She'll miss weight, and it's because of this and that. I'm going to go with Calderwood. I think she's got a little more volume, and I think if we get on the ground, she's more likely to win the grappling exchanges.
The only fight on the main card that doesn't feature a battle of ranked fighters is a men's bout in the lightweight division. You got undefeated Otman Isitar taking on Matt Frivola in a three-round bout. Both with really good records. Frivola 8-1-1 and Isitar 13-0.
I think from a name value standpoint, I would have probably preferred to have seen the Pena and McMahon fight on the main card here, but I think they know this one's going to deliver some violence. It's a really good fight. Still, Isitar has just that crushing power, but then Frivola has shown such durability and such a good chin and such a motor. He's going to be present for takedown, so I think it'll actually be a really entertaining fight. I'm going to go with Isitar, but Frivola's live.
To start out the main card, you've got a women's strawweight bout. I think the women's fights on this card, I think they're all pretty interesting. Strawweight bout, Marina Rodriguez ranked 8th, Amanda Ribas, who is a rising star, ranked 9th. Toughest opponent for Amanda Ribas. So both of these fighters are really quality. What do you think of this one?
You know, this is another really good, well-matched fight. It's striker versus grappler. I think if it stays standing, then Rodriguez is going to probably be able to get to a decision. But if it goes to the ground, Amanda Ribas has shown such great grappling skills and good ground and pound. Ribas is the one they want to win. She's the looker. She can talk. She's got charisma. She's got personality. She's one that they want to put up there in title contention. So the UFC wants to see that happen. We'll see if she can make it happen. I want to say she can, but, it's all going to come down to whether or not she can get the fight to the ground.
I think maybe the most interesting on the undercard is Sarah McMahon against Juliana Pena. There are other what will probably turn out to be good fights. What jumps out to you about the prelims?
Definitely McMahon Pena. That's a fight between two wrestlers, you know, and Pena last time out was doing really well against Durandamy, if you recall, but then she kind of had a slip there at the end and got submitted, of all things, by the Iron Lady. So that's an interesting fight. Also, a couple good names on there. Brad Tavares, Antonio Carlos Jr. is a sneaky good fight. And then Mobsar Evloev, who was supposed to fight Nate the Train Landwehr, is fighting Nick Lentz. So there's some interesting ones.
The rest of the undercard, Amir Albazi, 13-1 against Algis Zhumagulov, who's 13-4. That's a flyweight bout. Andrew Sanchez against Mahmoud Muradov. That's a middleweight bout. You got Khalil Roundtree at 8-4 taking on Marcin Chignio in a light heavyweight bout. And then Arman Sarukian at 15-2 taking on Nasrat Hakparast at 12-3. So that's the rest of the UFC 257 undercard. Of course, we were supposed to originally get Michelle Waterson against Ribas, but that ended up, Waterson had to back out of that. So that's why it was changed to Marina Rodriguez. But still, I think overall a very good card at UFC 257. And then one more warning, that Dana White's coming after you if you're planning to pirate this pay-per-view. So just FYI, and it's also more expensive, Tim, $70 as opposed to $65.
Yeah, that no doubt. I'm really curious to see what comes of all that. I'll be keeping my eyes and ears peeled next week.
Yeah, no doubt. You run pay-per-views for MMA, so it'd be interesting to see what Dana White's able to do to catch some of those guys and make them cry and beg, as he says. So there's your public service announcement from Tim Loy and Vince Ferrara here on In the Cage MMA Radio. All right, it's lightning round time. It's presented by Knoxville Martial Arts Academy. We'll take a look at what follows UFC 257 on the fight event calendar. That's next on In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1, the sports animal.
There's still a lot of MMA to tell you about and react to. Since we're short on time, we'll have to make it quick. But we promise it'll be good. Here's the MMA Lightning Round on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Young, dumb, broke, high school kid.
Back here on In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1, the sports animal. Tim Loy, I'm Vince Ferrara. It's the lightning round, powered by KMAA. KMAA offers classes for children. They have classes in self-defense, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, MMA, personal training, kickboxing, yoga, and martial arts. For the in-depth training at KMAA, many of the students have catapulted themselves into professional careers in the UFC, Bellator, and Invicta fighting promotions. They will help you achieve your goals. Call them at 865-771-9777. Or you can visit their website, KnoxMMA.com. They're located at 4201 Martin Mill Pike in Knoxville. All right, real quick, Tim, we got Valor Fighting Challenge coming back to the Cotton Eye Joe in February. Tell everyone about it.
Yeah, February 5th, Valor 78 from the world famous Cotton Eye Joe. This is one of our amateur showcases, and these fights can really wow the crowd. We got five title fights that night, a whole host of solid prospects from throughout the United States.
Yep, and when we get to fight week, we'll have a big preview for that card. And be sure to check out Tim and the gang on the Valor Hour on Radio Influence and on the social media accounts for Valor Fighting Challenge. You can find it there and get card updates, predictions, interviews, and a whole lot more. They do an awesome job with that. All right, the upcoming calendar for the UFC, when we get past UFC 257, the first show will be, of course, they go back to Vegas, Overeem versus Volkov. It seems like Alistair Overeem has maybe one more run in him. I mean, he's in incredible shape and still performing well at his advanced age, being such a longtime vet and an OG. What do you think of Overeem Volkov for Saturday, February 6th?
Interesting fight. It's a good fight, actually. And, you know, it's a guy that Overeem hasn't fought yet. Another guy that's ranked that a win should kind of keep him at least treading water in the conversation, you know, for a future one more title shot.
Then the Saturday after that, back at the UFC Apex in Vegas for the next pay-per-view, it's UFC 258. I really love this main event, and I'm glad it's this and not what is now the co-main event of Chris Weidman and Uriah Hall, but Kamaru Usman and Gilbert Burns. We've been waiting on this one for quite a while, and a welterweight title fight for Kamaru Usman's strap. Man, Gilbert Burns, if he looks anything like he used to before he has been out and had to scrap their fight the first time, with Usman's skills and his confidence level and versatility, man, this could be so much fun, Tim.
Yeah, that's the next big one, huh? You know, that'll have a lot of hype behind it. That'll be the question, though. Is Gilbert Burns going to return in the form that we saw him last? You know, Usman's going to bring it. I'm excited for that one. Too early for me to make a call.
I love it. It's my favorite of any of the upcoming main events that are booked right now. There'll be more added, obviously. But, you know, after that, UFC Fight Night, February 20th, Blades versus Lewis. That is one I know you can't wait. You were so bummed out, Tim, when you couldn't see Curtis Blades and Derek Lewis scrap the first time.
Yeah, main event doesn't really get me too excited, but we did hear that our friend Nate the Train Landwehr is booked on this card against Julian Arosa, so there will be something to look forward to.
Yeah, you like that matchup for Nate, right?
I do. I think that Arosa is going to be a guy that'll engage and not going to be so wrestle heavy, and it's a good chance for a big knockout, I think, for Nate the Train.
That would be fun, and boy, his celebration will be something, and maybe a post-fight interview as well. Okay, after that, Saturday, February 27th, Reyes versus Prochazka, and then the next pay-per-view after that is UFC 259, March 6th, Blachowicz against Adesanya, Battle of the Champs. I guess it will be for Blachowicz's light heavyweight title. On that card, also Amanda Nunes, Megan Anderson, Peter Yan, Aljamain Sterling. I mean, you talk about the next most loaded card to what we're seeing Saturday. I mean, that one delivers, at least at the top.
That one's stacked up. We'll see if all three of those title fights see the light of day. But if right. So, that's a nice, solid offering. You know, it's some of your lesser drawing pay-per-view champions all stacked up together. So I can get behind it.
And then a fight that we were supposed to see on Fight Island, Edwards versus Chimaev. How many times has this thing been rescheduled? A couple, two, three?
Yeah, man, it seems like this is the third at the very least. So, yeah, hopefully it's not cursed.
Yeah, March 13th is when those two are scheduled at the moment to get together. And then one of the stars of 2020 taking advantage of his opportunities to fight on short notice and stay busy. Five wins, Kevin Holland now earning himself a UFC Fight Night main event against Derek Brunson, March 20th, March 27th, UFC Fight Night in Vegas. And then after that, it'll be Saturday, April 10th, UFC Fight Night. There'll be other shows and those main events to be determined as well. But that's the upcoming card for the UFC. Loaded up. Just can't wait to see McGregor-Poirier this coming Saturday night. We'll have a full review of that card next week here on In the Cage MMA Radio, and then we'll look ahead to next weekend's show as well. Tim, enjoy the pay-per-view, my man, and awesome job as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Vince. Looking forward to it.
That is Tim Loy, matchmaker for Valor at Fighting Challenge. I'm Vince Ferrar. We thank you for listening. Podcast will drop in just a little bit. Make sure you subscribe, rate, share, tell all your friends about the weekly MMA radio show in Knoxville, Friday nights, 8 to 9. It's In the Cage, MMA Radio, 99.1, the Sports Animal. I'm Vince Ferrar. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to In the Cage MMA Radio as Vince and Tim bring you inside the fight game of MMA with this unique weekly one-hour show. Join us again next Wednesday night, 8 to 9 on 99.1, The Sports Animal.